across the River Jordan into the Promised Land. You remember God had split the River Jordan like he did the Red Sea, and the children of Israel walked across on dry land. A little more. The first city they came to was Jericho. And we know what happened to Jericho and how they marched around it and blew the trumpets and shouted, and the walls of Jericho came tumbling down, and they took the city. And on the heels of those great successes, they came to the next town. And the next town was a town by the name of Ai, spelled just that way, Ai. And that's where the story begins in chapter 7 and verse 1. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. Now what had happened here was Joshua had said to the people before they took Jericho and before they actually entered the city that they were not to take any of the gods of that city. They were pagan people, and they were not to participate in any of those things. They were not to take them because they were accursed. They denied the reality of the one true God, Jehovah, and so we're going to destroy that stuff. But this fellow Achan had a better idea, and he figured nobody wanted it. He wanted it because most of it was made out of precious materials, and so he took some of it. And Joshua sent, now that's important for the rest of the story. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth-Aven, on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. In other words, go and, this is a reconnaissance mission, go and scout out the city. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai. And make not all the people to labor therein, but for they are but few. Just send a small detachment out there. It won't take the whole army. So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. It didn't work the way they thought it was going to work. Now, think about where they were. They were on the heels of this great siege of Jericho. And supernaturally, God gave them that city. The walls just came tumbling down when they shouted and blew the trumpet, marched around the city. And they took that city so easily, and they figured everything else was just going to be the same way, and nothing would interfere with it, and there wouldn't be any problems, and they would just go on and take whatever city came up. And I think sometimes we as Christians feel the same way about our life with God. We get born again by supernatural means, and we think everything else is going to be just the same way. But it didn't work out for them. They came to a weaker enemy, but they fled in front of them. The weaker enemy put them to rout. And the men of Ai, verse 5, smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them before the gate, even unto Shebarim, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted, and became as water. Now you can understand how the people would feel about that defeat. And Joshua's reaction is probably similar to most of his people. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide, he and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads. The reason they did that was showing their humility before God, humbling themselves before God. And Joshua said, alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites, to destroy us? Is that what you did? You brought us here so that you could destroy us? Would to God that we had been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it, and shall environ us round, and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name? Now, Joshua has done the right thing in that he turned to God and humbled himself before God. But then in the midst of this humbling, he's having kind of a pity party. Oh, this terrible thing that has befallen us, and oh, how terrible this is, and would have been better off if we stayed on the other side of Jordan. Sometimes as Christians, we are tempted to say, it was better before I was born again. It was better before I became a Christian. I didn't have so much trouble with the devil before I became a born-again Christian. And we begin to pity ourselves and bemoan our circumstances. But thank God the Lord is always there to straighten us out, as he did Joshua. And in verse 10, the Lord said unto Joshua, "Get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel hath sinned. And they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen, and dissembled also," or they've lied and deceived, "and they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel," watch this now, "therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you anymore, except ye destroy the accursed thing from among you. Up, sanctify the people, and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. Separate yourselves unto me. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until ye take away the accursed thing from among you." This is what I believe the Lord wants to say to us today, to all of us. And that is, when we find ourselves in situations in our lives where we are not able to stand against our enemies, when our enemies come against us. Now, I'm not talking about our human enemies. I'm talking about our spiritual enemies. When Satan comes into our life with sickness, with confusion, with depression, with a temptation, whatever the circumstance is that we need to be freed from, we know that we have some magnificent promises from God. We know that he has given us exceeding great and precious promises. And he has given unto us, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, everything that pertains to life and godliness. There isn't anything that we have need of that he has not already provided. But there are times in all of our lives when we come up against some enemy that we're not able to stand against. We struggle, we fight, we this, we that, but we are not able to stand, and down we go. And I believe what he wants to say to us today is that we need to do what Joshua did. We need to fall on our face and say, "Lord, what is there in my life that you have been trying to show me that hurts me and hinders me and prevents me from obtaining by faith the magnificent promises that you've given?" Now, I've said to you many times in the past, all of God's promises come to us through faith. But I've also said to you that faith has many enemies. And one of the greatest enemies of faith is the knowledge in our heart, even though we don't know here sometimes, but the knowledge in our spirit that there's something in our life that needs to be dealt with. That there's something hidden that needs to be jettisoned. And in this case, Joshua did not know that Achan had taken the accursed thing. He had no knowledge of that. As far as Joshua was concerned, between him and God, between the people and God, everything was fine. But God knew that there was something in the people, in Israel, that violated his good order, and that violated his will, and that prevented the power of God from being loosed in the life of the people. Now, there's a verse in, hold your finger there, because we're not done with the story, but Let's go to 1 John chapter 3. Let me show you something here. We've looked at this before, but it bears repeating, I believe. 1 John chapter 3. We talked last week about faith being the victory and about all things are possible to him that believeth, and to him that believeth is nothing impossible. But we need to understand that there are enemies of faith. Paul said in his letter to Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. To hold your confidence in the promises of God requires a struggle. There's a fight to be fought. You can win it if you're willing to fight it. But if you're not willing to fight it, then you're going to lose it. You lose the faith fight, you lose the promise. This is how it works. It's not that God is withholding. The fact is, we are not able to receive. And here's the reason. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 19. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. Your heart must be assured before God. For if our heart condemn us, notice not the head, but the heart. If the heart, sometimes there are things going on in the inner man, in the heart, in the spirit, that your head is not aware of. In the same way that when you pray in tongues, your spirit is praying and your understanding is unfruitful, there are other things going on in the heart that your understanding does not comprehend. You don't know what's going on in here, up here, always. You get my drift? You follow what I'm saying? Remember that Hebrews 4:12 says there's one thing that separates the soul from the spirit. You remember what that one thing is? It's the Word of God, which is quick and powerful and sharper than any double-edged sword. And it separates to the discerning between flesh and spirit, soul and spirit. This is how you identify things that may be wrong, that you're not aware of here, is by the Word of God. If our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. In other words, God knows what's going on in there, and he can take care of it. He's bigger than the problem, and he can deal with it if we will let him. And verse 21 says, beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. Now, what would be another way of saying that? What would be another word for confidence toward God? Wouldn't faith towards God be a good synonym there? All right, let's read it that way then. Beloved, if our heart condemns us not, if in our spirit man there is no condemnation, then have we faith towards God. But if there is something hidden in the heart, if we have held something back, if we have held on to something that perhaps we know, perhaps we're not even aware of, it is just exactly like this accursed thing that Achan held on to and prevented the children of Israel from gaining a simple victory over an inferior enemy. Now, how many of us understand that any spiritual enemy that comes against us is an inferior enemy? I'm going to say that again. Any spiritual enemy that comes against us, you or me, is an inferior, weaker enemy. Because me and Jesus always get the victory. You and Jesus always get the victory. Thanks be unto God, which always causes me to triumph in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 2:14, I believe that. So we always come out on top. So any enemy we have is a defeatable enemy. Whatever the problem is, it is defeatable. Whatever the battle is, it is winnable. You must settle that. Now, in Joshua's case, he knew that. How did he know that? He'd just come across, 40 years ago, he'd come across the Red Sea that had been split. Just a few weeks ago, He had come through the Jordan River, which had been split supernaturally. And just a few days ago, he had walked around each day for seven of them. He had walked around the city of Jericho along with all of the men of war out in front with a priest with the trumpets, blowing the trumpets. And on the seventh day, according to the word that God had given them, given him, he gave to the people, they circumscribed the city seven times and blew the trumpet. And when the trumpet blew, there was a great shout from the people. And all of a sudden, wonder of all wonders, just a coincidence, the walls fell down. You and I have experienced those kinds of things in our lives too, haven't we? We've all experienced the power of God. If you're a born-again Christian, you've experienced the power of God. You know what it is to have God forgive you of your sins. You know what it is to have God free you from the guilt that comes along with that sin. You've experienced perhaps many other deliverances and many other marvelous works of the Spirit of God in your life. But then you come up against one that you can't defeat. You come against a beatable enemy that you can't beat. You come into a battle which should be simple and easy for you, and you lose the battle. I believe this story gives us some insight. Is there something hidden? Is there something there that God either has been dealing with or wants to deal with, and you won't let him? Hello? Are you listening? Are you processing what I'm saying here? Now, you don't take condemnation if there isn't anything there, but what I'm saying to you is, do what Joshua, when you face this kind of situation, look, when you come up against an enemy that should be defeated and it defeats you, the simple truth is, it's not something's wrong with God. Something's wrong with you or me. Now, once you face that, then you decide, how am I going to get to the bottom of this? And the way you get to the bottom of it is, you do what Joshua did. Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth on his face before the presence of the Lord. You get real serious. Okay, Lord, I have come up against a situation here that I should have been able to walk through, and I wasn't, and this thing is beating me. I want to know why. I'm crying out to you, Lord, and I want to know what is going on. What is there in my life? What is there in my heart? As Joshua said, what is there in my people that is causing me to lose a winnable battle? And you can count on God giving you an answer. You can count on him alone. If you really want an answer, he will give you an answer. When he gives you an answer, then you have a choice as to how you're going to respond. Now, if you respond appropriately and properly the way he's leading you, you know what will happen? The same thing that happened here. Let's go on and read. Verse 14, I'm back in Joshua 7. In the morning, therefore, ye shall be brought, Joshua tells the people, according to your tribes. And it shall be that the tribe which the Lord taketh shall come according to the families thereof. And the family which the Lord shall take shall come by households, and the household which the Lord shall take shall come man by man. And it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire, he and all that he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he hath wrought folly in Israel. In other words, what are we going to do? We're going to get to the bottom of this, and when we find out who it is, and in our case, when we find out what it is, we're going to kill it, we're going to destroy it, we're going to burn it, and we're going to do with it in such a way that it will never bug us again. It will never harm us again. So Joshua rose up early in the morning, and he brought Israel by their tribes. Now what it means by that is that he brought a representative of each of the 12 tribes forward. And the Lord impressed Joshua that this is the tribe. And it says the tribe of Judah was taken. In other words, God said it's in Judah. And then he brought the families of Judah, the heads of all of the families from the tribe of Judah, and he took the family of the Zarhites. And he brought the family of the Zarhites man by man, and Zabdi was taken. And he brought his household man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, was taken. Aha, now we've got it. Now we know who the problem is. Now, in our case, we want to know what the problem is. In Joshua's case, it was who the problem was. Joshua said unto Achan, "My son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me." And Achan answered Joshua and said, "Indeed I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done." This will be what happens when we decide that we really want to know the truth about what is hindering our faith and why it is that we cannot gain the victory that we need so desperately. When God puts his finger on what that problem is, that problem will not be nearly as large as we think it can be, or as we thought it was. "When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment, and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them, and I took them. And behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it, I buried it under my tent floor. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran unto the tent, and behold, it was hid in his tent, and the silver under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent, and brought them unto Joshua and unto all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tents, and all that he had, and they brought them unto the valley of Achor." The word Achor means troubling. The valley of troubling. "And Joshua said, Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day, and all Israel. Stoned him with stones, and burnt them with fire, after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. And so the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger, wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day." Now, if you read in the 8th chapter, we read of a successful campaign against Ai. And if you'll turn to the 20th verse, the 18th verse. You can read on your own the plan that Joshua gave. "And the Lord said unto Joshua, Stretch out the spear that is in thy hand towards Ai, for I will give it into thy hand. And Joshua stretched out the spear that he had in his hand toward the city. And the ambush arose quickly out of their place, and they ran as soon as he had stretched out his hand. And they entered into the city and took it and hasted to set the city on fire. When the men of Ai looked behind them, they saw, and behold, the smoke of the city ascended up to heaven, and they had no power to flee this way or that way." This is what happens to the enemy when we get ourselves lined up with the will of God. That beatable enemy becomes truly beatable. No power. And the thing that bound us and held us and refuse to let us believe God becomes a powerless wimp. "And when Joshua and all Israel saw that the ambush had taken the city and that the smoke of the city ascended, then they turned again and slew the men of Ai, and the other issued out of the city against them. So they were in the midst of Israel, some on this side, some on that side, and they smote them so that they let none of them remain or escape." It reminds me of what David did when, remember his battle with Goliath? And he slung the stone, hit Goliath in the forehead, and Goliath went down. You remember what David did? He jumped up on him and took out his sword and cut his head off. "I'm not satisfied to knock him down. I'm going to cut the head of that thing off so that he'll never trouble me again," And that's what we must do. Whatever it is that the Lord reveals is hindering us. And the king of Ai, they took alive and brought him to Joshua. And it came to pass when Israel had made an end of slaying all the inhabitants of Ai in the field, in the wilderness where they chased them, and when they were all fallen on the edge of the sword until they were consumed, that all the Israelites returned unto Ai and smote it with the edge of the sword. And so it was that all that fell that day, both of men and women, were 12,000, even all the men of Ai. For Joshua drew not his hand back, wherewith he stretched out the spear, until he had utterly destroyed all the inhabitants of Ai. Pastor Vic, that is pretty drastic, isn't it? It's not nearly as drastic as Jesus was. Let's see if I can put my finger on this. Matthew chapter 5. Turn to that passage. Matthew chapter 5. And find with me verse 29. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that the whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, or the word offend here in the King James is better translated, cause you to stumble. In other words, if your eye or your hand or your foot causes you to stumble, in other words, if there's something in your person that causes you to stumble spiritually, separates you from God, or causes you to be a victim to your enemies, if your right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. Now, that I call serious. That I call serious. Now, what he's saying here is it's better for you to go into heaven with one hand or one eye or one foot than it is for your whole body, both hands, both feet, and both eyes, to go into hell. And what he's saying is that there's nothing in our lives that is worth the price that we have to pay in order to hold on to it. No sin, no wrongdoing, no wrong attitude. Listen, I have seen, we all have seen. We have seen simple things. Like this is so, it's so ridiculous. I can't tell you how many times we have watched where people who, individuals who either were trying to get born again or wanting to be baptized with the Holy Spirit or wanting to receive healing from God and could not receive, and prayed, and we would pray for them and labor, you know, praying in the Holy Ghost and just work with them and so on, and trying to get the promise of God into their lives. And they wanted it, but they couldn't receive it. And when we had time to really minister to that individual, begin to talk with them and share with them and begin to probe, take their spiritual temperature and probe and look for an Achan and look for some hidden Babylonish garments and some hidden silver and gold and so on, as we read. And we would find out that, I remember one woman in particular who comes to mind. And I don't remember even who she was, but I just remember dealing with a woman. And I can still see her sitting in the chair. And as we began to deal with her and talk with her about her life and her experiences and how she felt about different things and so on, and began to get some leading from the Lord, we found that this woman was bitter. She had a bitterness and an unforgiveness in her heart towards some family members. And if I remember that situation particularly, it was in relation to a divorce and to her husband who had been unfaithful to her or whatever and had divorced her. And she was still angry at him and holding on to this unforgiveness, and she had become embittered towards him because of it. And you could see her lips curl when she talked about it. She just, this anger would just affect the look on her face. And she thought about it and expressed it. Well, when we heard that and we just ministered to her and explained to her that you cannot hold that unforgiveness and receive something from God. And in much the same way Joshua did, this woman took hold of that unforgiveness and that bitterness, and it was probably the hardest thing she ever did. But out loud, she declared, "I forgive him. I refuse to hold that against him any longer, what he did. And I let it go." And the minute she did, she just received. Just like that. In the same way that Joshua and his people could not take Ai until that accursed thing, that sin in the camp, had been dealt with and had been expunged. And once it was gone, bingo, they take Ai, they destroy the whole place, and that enemy is put to rout. And I believe what God wants to say to us today couldn't be any more clear than I've already made. And that is, if you are struggling with something in your life, something, some promise of God that you're having difficulty receiving, you need to take Joshua's action. And what is Joshua's action? Fall on your face and cry out to God. "Pastor Vic, I don't know how to actually do that." "You mean you don't know how to get down on your face?" "Well, I know how to do that, but I don't know how to fall on my face spiritually." Well, I can tell you one thing you can do is go is fast. Stop eating. Just stop eating. Just begin to fast. Take food out of your diet, out of your life. Humble yourself before the Lord. Weaken the flesh and strengthen the spirit. And get on your face spiritually before Him. "Lord, I have to have an answer to this. I have got to know. I need to know why it is that I cannot defeat my Ai. I have got to know. I know that Ai is a defeatable enemy, and I know that I am not successful in defeating that Ai. I know this thing is in my life. I know there's something in my life that I have got to deal with, and I want you to tell me what." Now, you're not here this morning by accident. The Lord did not give me this passage of Scripture by accident. I did not preach it to you by accident. I'm not preaching to Billy Speece this morning. I am declaring this to all of us. While we were praying this morning, the Lord said, "Go on and bring that word, bring it now." And I don't know whether it applies to Billy or not. Billy will know. But if it applied only to Billy, the Lord would have had me share this with him privately. It applies to all of us. And it either applies now, or it used to apply, or it will apply in the future. Remember what Jeremiah said. "The heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it?" There are things oftentimes in there that we do not know about. We do not understand. We hold things. We hold grudges. We're hurt. And we hold on to that hurt. Somebody did us wrong. Somebody dissed us. Somebody lied about us. Somebody slandered us. And we just decide, "Well, I'm going to hold on to that. I'm not going to walk in love with that person. I'm not going to forgive them." I wonder what would have happened if Jesus on the cross had refused to forgive his crucifiers. I wonder where we would be. And maybe that's what the Lord is trying to say to us today. That unforgiveness, bitterness, and those are some of the most damaging attitudes and emotions that I know of. And I've got to say to you that unforgiveness and bitterness is not worth the price that you must pay in order to hold on to it. It is not worth the cost that it will exact in spiritual as well as temporal blessings. Is there anybody in this congregation this morning that has not been hurt by, done wrong by, at least one person in their life? We've all experienced it, haven't we? If you've lived any period of time at all, you've experienced this. Now, I'm not talking about simple disappointments or simple frustrations. I'm talking about where someone did you wrong, did you dirt, for no reason, no good reason. And you have a choice to make. Oftentimes, it's in the family, because those are the people who can hurt us the most, are the people that we have opened our hearts and lives to. It may be in the church family, because we do risky living within the church too, don't we? I mean, we really open our hearts and open our lives to others in the church. And sometimes people take that information and take those things and misuse them. But we must decide to walk in forgiveness if we want the fullness of God's blessing in our lives. So that's all I have to say this morning. And with that...